In the 1960s, there was a turbulent period in the history of America. There were a lot of things that were taking place. There was the civil rights movement that was taking place, and there was a lot of tension in the United States over that. Not only was that taking place, but we were also engulfed in the Vietnam War. And being in the Vietnam War, there were a lot of people that were making demonstrations against that. But there was a voice that spoke up in the middle of all that tension, in the middle of all that chaos. There was a voice that spoke up, and it was the voice of John F. Kennedy. John F. Kennedy spoke, and he said that he believed that we as America had ingenuity like no other nation, that we had resources like no other nation, that if we pulled them together, that we could do something that would be unthinkable. We could go to the moon. In 1961, honestly, the thought of going to the moon, it was just an impossibility. And he said, let's do this. Let's do this together. Let's go to the moon. And so for the next few years, our attention, our focus was on landing on the moon, taking men to the moon. And it was just a few short later that they did exactly that. And this week, we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of the landing on the moon of the Apollo 11 astronauts. So could you just recognize them and honor them for what they did? Pretty awesome. 50 years ago, Neil Armstrong, Edwin Aldrin, and Michael Collins, they were the three men who were in a capsule. They took off and went to the moon. It was just astounding. There were millions, literally millions of people around the world watched that event. And I know that there are some people that say that it took place in a Hollywood studio. Let me just tell you, that's just go ahead and believe that. But there were some people that went to the moon, and they were just, honestly, they accomplished something that no one ever thought would be able to be accomplished, three men. But the truth was, is they didn't do that by themselves. I did some study recently, and it actually took a team of, are you ready, over 400,000 engineers, scientists, laborers to create one rocket, one capsule that would take them to the moon and come back. 400,000. Now, this week we celebrate so many of those names. We celebrate the names of those three astronauts. And recently, and only recently, did we start to hear about the people behind the scenes, some whose names were never voiced, some whose names we've only recently discovered. There was a movie that came out recently, Hidden Figures. It was about scientists who were women, and they were women of color, and they made the science. Are you ready? They discovered and formulated the science that got that capsule to the moon and got it back. I recently heard of a woman who was one of the scientists, and she wasn't even allowed to go in to the command center during the mission because she was a woman, and yet she played a significant role. And they said, had she not been there and had those women from the Hidden Figures movie not been there, that would have never taken place. It took a lot of people who were never seen, never knew their name, in order for America to accomplish something that was exceptional. Something that actually we still now live in the benefit of. Much of the technology that they discovered during that we now live in. Our cell phones literally came out of technology that was developed for the astronauts. There's so much that's taken place, and yet there were so many people's names who were never, ever mentioned. It makes me think that many times public success and private significance are not always on a parallel track. That many times the people who are in the public are not just the most significant people. Some of the most significant people were those that were hidden behind. It's not just in the astronauts program. It's also in almost every aspect of life, on your job, in your home, and in our community, and even particularly here at Christ Church of Orlando. There are so many people who do things that you can't see. There are so many people who are involved in making Christ Church of Orlando be what we're supposed to be. And the interesting thing about it is there are a lot of people that they might say at some point or another, what if I didn't do this? What if I just went away? What if I disappeared? Would it make any difference? And my answer to you today is absolutely yes. We care that you're here. We care that you're involved. We care that you're working. We care that you're helping us to accomplish a singular mission that God's called us to do. not only do we care, but God cares. And in fact, Jesus, he speaks about this. First of all, he tells his disciples that they're going to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Matthew, the 28th chapter, he says, go into all the world and make disciples of men. But he does something on the very last day before he goes to the cross. He prays a prayer. And this is the last prayer of Jesus. I want you to turn with me to John, the 17th chapter. And we're going to read out of John, the 17th chapter. And there's some significant things out of this passage that I think they speak to us about the commission of Christ for us. In this prayer, Jesus prays first for himself, which is unusual. Like, I don't think Jesus spent all of his time with his Father praying for himself. But in this passage, he does. He starts out praying for himself, and he needed to pray because he understood that in the next few hours, he was going to be betrayed. He was going to be beaten. He was going to be crucified. He was going to walk through something, and so he prayed for himself. And then he prays for the apostles. He prays that they would be faithful and that they would continue, that they would be equipped to carry the message around the world. That's why he prays for them. And then he does something that is astounding as far as I'm concerned. Almost breathtaking. He prays for you. He prays for you. Do you want to hear what he said? Here's what he says in John, the 17th chapter, in the 20th verse. My prayer is not for them, not for the apostles alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. I pray for those that will believe. If you're here today and you believe through the message of the apostles that Jesus prayed about you. And why do you think he prayed for you? It tells us in the next sentence that all of them may be one. Somebody say one. All of them may be one. Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. Jesus prayed for us to have unity. Jesus prayed for us to be united in purpose. He prayed for us to be united in vision. He prayed for us to be united in the direction. And why did he think it was necessary for us to be united? Because here's what he says, because they may also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. Jesus somehow ties his final prayer. This is his final prayer. Prayer and the longest prayer recorded of Jesus in the Bible. He ties his final and his longest prayer to us being unified, and somehow there's a connection between us being unified in vision and direction and purpose and accomplishing what he's commissioned us to do. It's an essential thing. It's an essential thing for Christ Church of Orlando, and it's not anybody else's job. It's our job. Are you ready? To reach this city for Christ. It's our job to make the name of Christ known and to bring hope to the hopeless and to help those that are hurting. It's our job to bring the hope of the gospel of Christ. And so he's commissioned us to do, and then he's tied to us. Are you ready? Our unity is tied to how effective we'll be on reaching this city. I heard this said, and I thought it's pretty interesting. People are one to Christ if the church is one in Christ. People are one to Christ if the church is one in Christ. And honestly, like we've all, if you've been in church, maybe you've heard of the stories of denominations that have been in fights and fights between two denominations about the way they approach things or their belief systems. You've heard about churches that, I mean, I've heard of churches taking each other on in communities. I recently heard of a pastor who I had followed online, and he was a great Bible teacher, and they had a great worship church there, and somehow their church fell into like some division, and eventually the church board sued the pastor, and the pastor sued the church board, and pretty much they lost thousands of people because of division. And I'm sure I don't know all the story about that, but I do understand this, that the rest of the churches in that community will have to bear the brunt of what took place in that church. So Christ compels us, and he prayed that you and I would do our best to live in unity, that we would focus around one thing, that we would focus around bringing people to Christ. And here's the problem with that is each and every one of us, like we've all had some place, some tension, some argument, some place where it's just we bumped into somebody else And so then what do you do with that? Like, how do we have unity in the midst of all that? Here's what the Bible has to compel us to do, is that somehow we have to find the way for us to get past our own issues, for us to get past our things that could potentially divide us, so that we will preserve the unity of the church, so that we can fully accomplish what we're supposed to accomplish. Because if we don't get beyond ourselves, if we don't get beyond this place and the spirit of unity doesn't dwell in us, then the door somehow for us to reach the community gets smaller and smaller and smaller. So he challenges us. He challenges us through his prayer. Somebody might say to me today, like, are you praying? Are there problems at Christ Church? Absolutely not, which makes this the best time for me to talk about this. There are six things I want to talk to you about for these next few moments, and they're going to be simple. This is going to be a simple message, but hopefully it'll have some impact on you. Six things here at Christ Church of Orlando that we think are important and that we cannot forget. And interestingly enough, I was able to work them around so they spelled out Christ. The first letter of these spelled out Christ. So I'm going to make it easy for me and easy for you. Six things that we have to focus on if we're going to reach this community for Christ. Here's the first thing that we should focus on. Are you ready? Commitment to excellence. A commitment to excellence. That we should do everything that we can to the best of our ability. Like, I think if there's something worth doing, that you have to do it to the best of your ability. It's amazing to me how many people get invested. They invest time, they invest energy into something. And then, like, I actually had a conversation with somebody a while back that, like, it's the last 10% people seem to quit on. Like, it's the last 10% that they don't strive for the excellence all the way to the end. We have to get to the place where we believe in excellence. And one of the things, if you don't know this about our church, we want to do it to the best of our ability. Somebody just recently said, like, Christ Church of Orlando, we're executing programs that are way above this size of a church. And it's because we believe that if we're going to do something, we have to do it to the best of our ability, a commitment to excellence. And why are we committed to excellence? Here's the reason why. The reason why we focus on this is the very next one. It's H. It starts heart of evangelism. We have a heart for evangelism. We want to open the door wide for anybody who does not know Christ to come here, and there not be excuses for them to come, for them not to find Christ. We want to make every opportunity, be creative about opportunities to bring people to Christ. Here's the next one. Are you ready? R, relationships. We focus on relationships here. Like, if you're around at all, you know that, like, I'm going to talk about relationships. I believe once people get in the door, they have to get connected to somebody. They have to get connected to somebody who is going to walk with them and live with them and help carry their burdens, and quite possibly will flourish to be our best if we're connected to each other. I read this. I wish I'd written this because then I'd put it out on Facebook like my own little meme here, but I won't. Here's, when your relationships around you are thick, your relationship with God will stick. Well, maybe I'm glad I didn't write that after all. Here we go. So here's the deal. How do we have good relationships then? Are you ready? This next one gives us some understanding. There has to be integrity. There has to be integrity in who we are, and there has to be integrity in our word. There has to be that when we get together, like, we keep our word, that, like, we're about each other, that we're watching out for each other. And let's just be honest, like, each of us, we have places where we might have some issues. We might have issues with somebody. We might have some issues with somebody who approaches something in a certain way. But we have the integrity that we're going to see each other through. And let me just tell you where those tensions are in our lives, where we want to walk away, where we want to make a commitment and then walk away. Here's the deal. Most of our greatest development spiritually and emotionally will take place where there's a tension in our life. We have to get our way through that to the other side, and we'll find out that we grow the most in those places. And here's my last two letters on this. I told you it was going to be simple. The S and the T here is servant attitude. That we have to have a servant attitude, and there has to be teamwork. If I were going to tear a playbook right out of Jesus' book, here's what he said in Matthew, the 20th chapter, and I've referenced it already. The Son of Man did not come to serve, but to serve. He did not come to be served, but to serve. He did not come to be served, but to serve, and to serve as a ransom for many. Listen today, this is strong. If, If you're not living like that, you're not really living like Jesus. He calls us that we would be servants. We have to have that servant attitude. We have to have that servant mentality. And so there are a couple of ways that you can tell if somebody has servant mentality. The first way that you can tell is, and this is one of the things that, like, I refuse to allow it to be a part of our culture. When people say, that's not my job. That's not my job. Honestly, everything here at Christ Church is all of our jobs. Like every aspect of this belongs to us. We are the church, and so all of this belongs to us. Here's the interesting thing about that is like it plays down in every aspect on staff. Like I love our staff because they lean over and they help to take care of each other. They help each other in their work. They help each other in ideas. And when something goes wrong, like, we're all in for each other. Here's one of the ways that you can tell if somebody's all in or if they have it's not my job mentality. And you can ask the folks on staff. I say this all the time. Like, if you see something that has to get done, we have to do it. Like, it gets down to this far a level. Are you ready? If you see paper in the parking lot, you don't need to come into the building, walk past the paper, and walk in the door, go to your office and go, Lord Jesus, please send somebody to pick up that paper. You know? Because honestly, it would just be easy for you to just pick up the paper and take it in with you. Like, it's all of our job to do the work here. And I understand, now listen, I understand there has to be places where we focus and do the specific tasks that we're supposed to do and not get distracted by 1,000 other things. But let me just tell you, everything here at Christ Church of Orlando, it belongs to you, it belongs to you, it belongs to you, it belongs to me. We're in this together. And so how we can tell if somebody's not in, if they don't have that servant attitude is it's just not my job. But there's the second part of this. The servant attitude is the foundation for teamwork, and teamwork trumps talent. Teamwork trumps talent. I've worked with some of the most talented people, and they were just so difficult to get along with. And everything that they could build, they could tear down at the same time. Honestly, I'd love to work with people that may not be the top of the A-list, but they have an awesome attitude. Teamwork trumps talent every time. And there's something that Jesus, and this is straight from Jesus. This is the last passage I want to talk to you about for a few moments. I'm going to read at the end, and then I'm going to circle around back to the beginning of 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter and the 27th verse. Now you are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. You are the body of Christ. Each one of you is a part of it. And the body of Christ isn't someone else. The work of the church isn't for somebody else. We believe that every person, every seat, every room is essential for us to do what we're supposed to do, which is reach this city for God. We'll never reach our goal. Honestly, we'll never reach our goal. We'll never reach our goal to reach this city from choir risers. We'll never, wasn't the choir awesome? Awesome job today. We'll never reach this city from this podium. We can reach this city if you and I work together as one in the unity that Christ calls us to, and we accomplish this thing together. He calls us to do this together, regardless of what you make for a living, where you work for a living, regardless of who you're friends with, regardless of where you came from, regardless of where you go to school, it does not matter. We're all in this together. Each of you is a part of the body. So let me dig in just a little bit further for a second. Jesus prays this prayer. Father, I pray that they would be one. That they would be one. The interesting thing about this prayer from Jesus is this is not a prayer that the Heavenly Father can answer by himself. There are two yeses that are necessary for this prayer of Jesus that he thought was so important. It's the last recorded prayer of Jesus before he's crucified. There's a two-part yes to this. The Father's already said, yes, I want my children to be one. The second part of this is a yes from you. A yes from you that We have the responsibility to say yes, that I'm going to be all in the work of God. Like, I'm going to be all in the kingdom of God. I'm going to be all in what he's doing so that we can open the door just a little bit wider for somebody else to know God. So how can you answer the prayer of Jesus? I'm going to just take a few moments here and give you that answer. Two words, mutual service. Like, we all serve. We all buy in. I want you to back up in chapter 12 with me for just a few moments, and I'm going to just give you a little bit of insight about this. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but all of them in everyone is the same kind of God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common, somebody say common good. He's given the work of the Holy Spirit in you, not for yourself. He's not giving you the work of the Holy Spirit just for you to be a good person, a better person, for you to be attractive, for somebody to say, ooh, they heal, like, or they prophesy, or they can do whatever it is that they do in the Spirit. No, that's not the purpose. It is, are you ready? For the common good. It's for the body. And so consequently, you have to be connected to the body. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, words of knowledge. It goes on and says, like, faith and healing and miracles, prophecy, distinguishing of spirits, different kinds of tongues. There are all kinds of work, and yet it is the one and the same Spirit he distributes to each one just as he would. Okay, now this isn't the only place where spiritual gifts are listed. They're also listed in Romans, the 12th chapter. They're listed in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. There are quite a few gifts that are listed in the New Testament. You might be saying, like, well, how do I know what my spiritual gift is in this Saturday? Is that correct? Growth Track is going to happen this Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. We're going to give a spiritual gifts assessment, and you're going to be able to find out what you're supposed to be doing and how, like, where you work best. So I'm going to challenge you, if you haven't gone through Growth Track, be here 9 o'clock on Saturday morning. But there's something I want to just push a little bit past that and say, not every spiritual gift is listed in 1 Corinthians 12, not every spiritual gift is listed in Romans 12, not every spiritual gift is listed in Ephesians, the 4th chapter. How about this? Would anybody say that, like, the people who were singing today in the choir and the praise and worship, like, could you say that music is a spiritual gift from God? Like, seriously, it lifts us up into the heavens, you know? How about a counselor? Pastor Jeff Phillips was here for 9 years, and he did an awesome job of counseling with people. And let me just tell you, it was a gift. Like, he knew that that was his calling. That's not necessarily anywhere in the Bible, that gift, but we believe that he worked in that. And there's one that you might not know. Are you ready? And this might catch some of you by surprise. Some of you, this might make your day. The gift of interior decorating. Yeah, absolutely. Seriously, in the Old Testament, God wanted a place where he was going to meet with his people. It was called the tabernacle. It actually meant tent of meeting, that he wanted them to set up a tent of meeting. And he had a design. He had a plan, and he needed somebody to do it. So in Exodus, the 31st chapter, here's what it says. And the Lord says to Moses, see, I have chosen Bahaziel, son of Uri, son of Hur, the tribe of Judah, and I have, listen, filled him with the Spirit, with knowledge and wisdom and understanding, with all kinds of skills. And it goes on and it says, like, he works well with wood, he does good with metal, he knows how to put fabric in there, he's going to know exactly. So here's the deal about that, is like, he was all combined in one person, Chip and Joanna Gaines. Like, and it says he was filled by the Holy Spirit to accomplish that. Like, it was, he was gifted by the Holy Spirit to do that. And some of you are like, you never had any idea that that was something like God was using. You're like, I'm going to be able to watch HGTV with Bible in my lap and call it devotions, you know? And so here's the idea behind this, though. There are some things that God has for you. There are some things that maybe they're not listed in Romans, the 12th chapter, or 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, but they didn't even come to you when you received Christ or when you began to walk in the fullness of the Spirit. Those, they were in you before, because I believe that there are gifts that God puts in us before birth. I think this talent, musical talent, I think that there are giftings that he puts down inside of us because he's prepared in advance for us works to do. And those gifts and talents, and many times we use them in our life, but it's not until we come to Christ and not until we begin to ask him to use those gifts for the kingdom of God do they become spiritual gifts. The things that you have down inside of you that are unique about you, like God wants to use those things so that the kingdom of God would advance and so that others would benefit from that. You might say, like, well, I'm not exactly sure. I'm going to try to get as simplified about this as I can. And that is, like, if you want to figure this out, here's a good way to just walk into a room here at Christ Church, spend 15 seconds. And the stuff that jumps out of you that jumps and says that needs to get done, honestly, that's probably where your spiritual gift is. It's like it's just automatically there. Walk into any environment and you're going to see what has to take place. Like God's, honestly, he's already opening your eyes going, hey, somebody needs to step up and take a part of that. In this 12th chapter of Corinthians, Paul, he illustrates to everyone that everyone can be involved. No one can say, like, I'm not a part of that. You need the body and we need you. The body works less efficiently unless it has all the parts. We need your eyes, we need your hands, we need your feet, we need for you to get all in so that we can truly answer the prayer of Jesus that we would be one in unity, that we would be one in direction, and that we would make this place known so that every person who needs to know Christ in Orlando will know him. Amen. Yeah, go ahead and praise him. That's awesome. I didn't, again, make this one up. You might have heard this one before. One is better than one. Are you ready? One is better than one. Anybody ever heard that? Do you know where that came from? Anybody? Come on, come on. It came from the Avengers. Yeah, here we go. You're all really spiritual right now. It came from the Avengers. Like, so here's the deal is, yeah. Here's the deal about this is we can only do amazing things when we're all working in unity towards the one thing that God has called us to do. You might be here today and you might say, like, I'm not exactly sure what that is. We're going to give you some opportunities to begin to step into that. I began to tell you at the beginning of this message about the Apollo 11 team. Three people went to the moon, 400,000 people made that take place. One person stands up here and preaches on Sunday. Half a dozen people sing, and there's half a dozen people in the band, and all of that's really good. But did you know that on any one weekend, we need 90 people to pull off what happens here at Christ Church? We need 90 people to be all in. It can't be one or two people that do 90 tasks. Each task is important. Every area is important. You might say, like, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. Listen, you don't have to be really spiritually gifted to rock a baby in the nursery. You don't have to be spiritually gifted to stand at the kiosk and check the babies in. Or to hand a cup of coffee out. But let me just tell you, whatever it is that you have down inside of you, if you'll lend it to God, he'll fill it with his spirit and he'll use it for his glory and just quite possibly the door for us to have somebody walk in this place and find Christ might be opened a little bit wider. So I'm going to challenge you. Will you consider serving here at Christ Church? Will you consider being a part? Will you consider getting all in with us so that we can do everything that we're supposed to do? In your bulletin, you're going to find a handout, and I'm going to ask you to take this handout out with me, and it's... It looks like this, and up at the top of it, it says serve. These are going to be serve opportunities, and there's plenty of places. This just covers weekends. So there's four different places on here. There's youth and children. There's first impressions. There's music. And there's a fourth one in there, the worship arts. So here it has to do with not just the singing that takes place, but tech and also social media. So there's a lot of places for you to serve. Here's what I'm going to ask you to do. Read through this. Read through this and ask the Lord to speak to you. And will you consider being a part of the yes to the answer of Jesus's prayer? Will you consider being a part of the yes? See, God's already said yes, but he's going to need us to also say yes. That you'll passionately step up with us and that we together can accomplish what Jesus has called us to do. So in these next few moments, I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to ask you, for these next few weeks, will you just start to step in? Next Sunday after service, first of all, Lester and Holly are going to be here next week singing. Man, you're not going to want to miss that. But after service, out in the foyer, there's going to be booths that are going to be set up where you can go and sign up. Sign up for a place. If you're not currently all in, will you get all in and help us to do what Jesus prayed to the Father, that we would be unified, that we would be one, moving in one direction? Let's pray together today. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. I thank you, God, for this day. I thank you for your awesome blessings. I thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit that's here and how you've come to unite us in one, and we can't do that on our own except to say yes to you, and somehow your Spirit moves in among us and does a work in our hearts and our lives that brings us closer to you and brings us closer to each other. And Lord, it strengthens us and it strengthens our bond and gets rid of pride and helps us to know better value of ourselves. So Lord, we're asking you that you would deposit in the heart of every person to get all in and say yes to you. And Lord, through the course of this week, I'm asking you that you'll speak to them and direct them and guide them. And next Sunday, they're going to show up here again and say yes. All for your glory. Lord, we pray for the people that don't know you. We don't know their names yet, but you do. And it was you who gave your life for them, who died on a cross, and you told us not to forget what you've done. So today, we remember what you've done, and we remember who you did it for. And so, Lord, will you just stir a passion in us? Stir a passion in us for your glory. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Will you stand together with us this morning?